us all. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey. Rejoicing the heart, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey.
Chapter 18 and verse 31 of the book of Luke. Chapter 18 and verse 31. That's what I want to look at this evening, but we'll read the four verses just to get our clear understanding. Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, "Behold, we are going to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and insulted and spat upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again." But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. And I'm really basing our exhortation this evening on verse 31. And I'm calling our teaching today, "Are you on your way to Jerusalem?" Are you on your way to Jerusalem? Now, it's interesting here that our Lord knows what is going to happen. He has foresight. He has knowledge. He has knowledge that he's going to be cruelly treated, abominably. And he also knows that what he's saying in verse 34, they don't understand. It's hidden from them. They don't know the things which are spoken. And we are like that until the Holy Spirit begins to open up and he begins to open his word. And of course, they have no recollection of any of this, really. He's just saying this. They're obviously distressed. We know that because Peter tried to stop him. But they don't really understand. And that is why we have to go through trial and test. It has to be through the way of the cross to start to understand God's ways and experience his ways. And of course, this is really a lifetime's walk, isn't it? You see, Jerusalem is the life of our Lord, represents the place in which he reaches, in a sense, the culmination of his Father's will. You see, Jesus constantly said, didn't he, "I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." He was often citing that, showing that it wasn't in him, it didn't lie in him, but through his Father, the Spirit within him. And his desire burnt within him always to seek to do the will of his Father. And if you're on your way to Jerusalem, spiritually speaking, then you are beginning to learn to do the will of your Father. And you have steadfastly set your face to your Jerusalem. You see, the greatest thing for us to remember is that we go up to Jerusalem to fulfill God's purpose. And it's not our own, not what we want to do, my will, I'll decide, whatever it is. We are on a specific journey. And that's why, you see, our natural life and our ambitions and what we want to do and our goals and everything have to be crucified, surrendered, handed up. We hand up our heart, our whole being, so that these ambitions, these goals that the world teaches us to pursue, we surrender. Because if you don't surrender that, you cannot be on your way to Jerusalem. It will be the biggest hindrance to you. It will stop you from going to that spiritual place. And that is the whole point. It's strange, isn't it, that we talk so much today about our decisions and what we're going to do for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're so determined to do these things. But you see, the only thing that we are to pursue is the will of God. And God has made no mistake in all of this, because as he tells us that he has chosen us, John 15 tells us that. He chose us even before the foundation of the world. So he's made no mistake in any of this. And that can be so gratifying and comforting when our circumstances look contrary, look a failure. But they are the very conditions, brothers and sisters, of which we can continue this journey to our Jerusalem. And that is why God calls us to walk by faith and not by sight. And that's why he's chosen you. You are of no value in this world. Nothing particularly dynamic. Nothing at all about you or I, whatever it is. But he's chosen us to be of great value to him. And that is just so wonderful. And when we can get that from our heads to our hearts, we were counted a privilege to remove any hindrances that are stopping our journey to Jerusalem. And that's why he's chosen you, because of that. As long as you think you're of value to him, he can't choose you. Because you have no real purpose to serve him. Because it's what you want to do. And this is why God presents the cross like he does. To nail this, to crucify all of this. These compulsions, desires that are in man. But you see, if we allow him to take us to the end of ourselves, which he's doing, then he can choose you to go with him to Jerusalem. And that's what he's doing. And we see back in this verse, then he took the 12 aside and said to them, "We are going to Jerusalem." He had to take them to one side, so it was not for everyone to hear, but the chosen, the ones who desired to walk with the Lord. And that's what he does. He's chosen you. He's called you out from Christendom, from the crowd. He's called you aside and he says to us, "Behold, we are going to Jerusalem." And you know, that journey to Jerusalem, he doesn't discuss with you or I. He doesn't tell us how long it will be or what sort of journey it's going to be. Or whoever we're going to meet, or whatever it is, he doesn't. He just says, "Follow me." And on that basis, that is what we do. And that is why we walk by faith and not by sight. Knowing that we walk this walk to our spiritual Jerusalem, not on our own, but also with him as well. And we trust him. And we trust him through all the thick and thin, the trials, the delays, the despondencies sometimes, the joys, the tears, all those experiences. We trust him because we're on that journey with him to our spiritual Jerusalem. So often we look at one another, at our personalities and our characters, and we think to ourselves, well, you know, that sister has such ability, that brother will make such a great Christian, and so on. You see, brothers and sisters, it's not a matter of ability or equipment or whatever you have. What is the most important thing is our poverty. That is what makes a disciple. That is what commends a brother or sister to be able to walk that spiritual walk to Jerusalem. It's not what we bring with us. It's what God puts into us. And some are still trying to get to terms with this one. You see, the only thing of value is being taken in God's purposes, being called his friend, walking with him as a disciple. That's all that matters to him. Get that right and everything else falls into place. And that's why God makes friends with those who know their own poverty. That they know that they have been drawn out of the gutter, out of the dust. And he has placed his spirit within us, within you and me. That's what it's all about, brothers and sisters. That is what the deeper life is about. And some can't embrace the deeper life because self-esteem is still too important. Still wanting our own way and doing our own thing. But you see, you can only jump on the bandwagon in all of this for a season. And eventually it will be a trial or a test that will actually sort it out. And you see, a man or woman who's growing in wisdom and in the fear of God will have a great discernment of that. Will have something within them that cries out, Lord, please don't let me fall. Whatever it takes, work that within me. You see? They're the things that we ask for. They're the things at times we pray and intercede and sometimes fast about. In other words, that shows the Father that you do mean business, even though you are failing in the natural. And so we have to remember, with this deeper life teaching, that the greatest thing for us to remember is that we're going to Jerusalem to fulfill God's purpose and not our own. And that's what this is about. And this is where I'm convinced and believe that the greater works will come of the last days. As we continue our journey to our spiritual Jerusalem. Nobody wants to go on that journey in the natural. Jesus knew what he was going to face. We've read it there in verses 31 to 34. But it didn't deter him. He knew that the Father's will must be accomplished. And we too know that our Father's will must be accomplished for the church in these last days, as the bride's making herself ready. And whatever the trials, whatever the tribulations, and they are and they will be, we continue to move on, press on to our spiritual Jerusalem. Nothing deters us. And that is what he's looking for. And we can take great comfort on the fact that we never chose God, he chose you for this. And that's why I say so often, he has made no mistake, whatever your life, your circumstances. And that's why when he moves in our lives, he takes hold of us and he begins to turn us around and bring us into his life, into his conformance, into his purpose, his plans, what he wants. And whether he reveals it to us or not, we still walk by faith. We have no idea what God's goal may be as we continue. And very often, as we continue in this war, it becomes even more and more vague. And I can't be the only one that is experiencing that. As we continue in this walk, it looks more and more ridiculous and more of a failure. This walk to Jerusalem looks a failure. As Jesus set his face to the cross, it looked a failure. And yet on the cross, one of the greatest miracles in the New Testament happened. One of the thieves, the robbers, that was crucified with him, said, Father, remember me this day. In all that agony, pain, humiliation, and he said, this day you will be with me in paradise. One of the greatest things in the New Testament, that is, in the midst of absolute failure, he's dying, but he saw that Christ was an innocent, righteous man. He knew his fate. He knew he deserved it. But he cried out, Father, have mercy on me. That just moves me every time I think about that. That God's love will reach out to the vilest offender. Very often in hopeless situations. And that is how God does it. That is our journey to Jerusalem. With the many obstacles that are in the way. And those obstacles are to strengthen you and I. You have no faith without obstacles, without trials. You have no strong faith unless you have strong trials in order to produce what is needed. And this is why this is all spiritual. This is a spiritual work being created and done in our lives and in our hearts, and at times we often don't understand it. But that is the nature of the cross that we too take up daily and follow the Lord. It is a spiritual work. Your faith to believe today, now, this very moment, has required trials, tribulations to produce what you have today, now, in this room. Get your mind into that and you will not understand it. Because it's spiritual, it's creative, it's supernatural. And the devil tries to keep us bound in the flesh over these trials. And the reason he keeps us bound is because he tries to work us in that self-centeredness, looking inwardly. But you see, the very nature of our trials and tests and delays of faith are exactly what faith requires and needs. And believe me, brothers and sisters, there is a faith that is required and needed for our walk to Jerusalem. And God isn't going to reveal always what it is, what is on the way. He's just going to say, come and follow me. And many times it looks as though God has missed the mark. God is too late. Should have been there a week ago. Where were you when I needed you? How often have we experienced that, brothers and sisters? And do you know why that is? It's because we are too nearsighted to see the target that he's aiming for. Because self has got in the way. Depression, oppression, a lack of praise and worship, and we're failing to see the target. We're failing to see what he's aiming for. And I can assure you, he's aiming at your faith. You are here tonight. I am here tonight to get at our faith so that we can continue on our way to Jerusalem. And that's why, you see, when we first got saved and we embraced the deeper life teaching and all the tapes and everything, we all had our own ideas to what God's purposes were going to be, didn't we? And God means for me to go abroad or to minister in Africa or to do this or to do that. We all had these bright ideas. We do what we think is right. Until God begins to draw us in and show us that he has a plan. He has a purpose. He has desires. He goes before and prepares the way. And he is saying, are you on your way with me to Jerusalem? Because that is where I'm going. And that is where you're going. And that is where I am going. And he's not going to explain always. He's not going to show you always. Because you walk by faith and not by sight. And that's why he says, my people perish through lack of knowledge and understanding. They have no vision. And that is the tragedy, that so many of our brothers and sisters who confess Christ's name are doing exactly the same mistake and sin that Israel did, aimlessly going around in that wilderness, when Israel could have got through in 11 days and it took them 40. But you see, if you are on your way to Jerusalem, then the grace and the mercy, the walk, is set before you, because you're not walking it on your own. You're going side by side with the Lord. And that is why, when I opened up in this, then he took the 12 aside and said to them, God takes us aside more often than we actually think. And the reason that he's taking us aside is because we've yet not understood. We've not understood God's purpose, what he's saying into my life, because I don't want to hear it. I'll hear it tomorrow or next week. It's a bit too painful at the moment. And so God, like with the disciples, he takes us aside. And he starts to speak to us. And in many ways, I believe, our getting together like this, having this end time message of faith and deeper life taught to us, in many ways, it's God drawing us aside to speak to us. That is why we have so few that follow this. They come in and they go out. They stay for a few minutes and they leave. Do you know why? Because he hasn't taken them to one side. But he's taking you and I to one side. And what is the purpose of that? So that you understand, not with your own logic, your intellect, but you understand spiritually. And that is why we have to experience this journey to our spiritual Jerusalem and all that it entails, all that we encounter, whether we are on the road, on the wayside, or whatever it is, all of that is so that we can understand. And when we've had a hard journey for that day, and we're weary and we're tired, and we're wondering how much longer this journey is, he takes us to one side, because the experiences of that day on that journey enables you and I then to begin to understand. There's a saying in the world, isn't there? There's no gain without pain. Well, you know, there's some truth to that in the spiritual. It needn't be painful, but often it is painful, and simply because we're still stubborn, we're still willful. But it often takes pain in order to understand, for it to drop that 18 inches from our heads to our hearts. Are we beginning to understand our journey to Jerusalem? Because that journey to Jerusalem is what the church desperately needs. Our journey to Jerusalem is where the greater works will be, the anointing, those things that we have believed for, confessed for, hope for, hold on for. That is where it is. That is where the greatest miracle that was going to take place, Christ rising from the dead, taking the sin of the world on himself. And that is where it's going to be for the church. in its last final conflict with the powers of darkness. Brothers and sisters, as I close now, we cannot go wrong with this. We will triumph in this as we stay on our journey to Jerusalem. Heavenly Father, you know all things. Thank you for taking us to one side to speak, to explain, to help us to understand more. We know that these are the things that come by the Spirit. It is a spiritual work, and forgive us, Lord, so often that we try to understand the spiritual in the flesh, in the carnal, and we never will. But these trials, these tests, these endurances, all these experiences that are needful for our faith, for our belief. Lord, you use them all. That is why in your word you've said that all things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. And how true that is. Everything in our life you are using, as well as our downfalls and our weaknesses, you are using, and you turn it into a spiritual experience. And it's all part of that spiritual fueling that keeps us on this road to Jerusalem. Father, I pray that all those who listen to this teaching, their faith will fail not. And like our Lord and Saviour, who set his face as a flint towards Jerusalem, that we too likewise will do the same. Keep us from the hindrances the enemy tries to work. That we only have one aim, one purpose, and that is to fulfil your will. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
My eyes to the hills, from whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Oh, neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord, he is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night.